time to talk a little health news this morning. We are in the middle of Black History Month. Also, it's National Cancer Prevention Month, and we're trying to kind of tying those two together with our next guest, Dr. Gary Puckrin, who is president of the National Minority Quality Forum, here to join us to talk about the unique barriers that Black, Indigenous, and people of color, also known as BIPOC, face in accessing screenings and diagnosis and treatments of cancer. Doctor, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm teaming up with the nonprofit Women in Government to talk about the disparities in cancer outcomes and what we can do about it.
All right, well, let's talk about what are some of the barriers that the people of color and so far are facing regarding cancer. What's happening here?
Well, certainly one of the great challenges that we all have, and it really impacts minority populations, is getting screened for cancer early. It's incredibly important that we diagnose cancer before it spreads throughout the body, otherwise metastasized. And if we could treat it when it's local, we have a great chance of improving survival rates.
Now, what are some cancers that might be more prevalent in the African-American community? What would they be, and what's the reason for that?
There's prostate cancer, multiple myeloma, breast cancer. Some of it's biology, and some of it's environment, the places where we live and work. It's that interaction between our biology, the environment, our behavior, that elevates the risk for cancer.
So what is the solution, or what's the next step do we take? How do we kind of help people who are in these situations?
I think really we're at the end stage at the war in cancer. I know people don't say that out loud, but I'm going to say it out loud. We have some multi-cancer early detection screenings. These are screenings that screen for 50 cancers at one time. Right now we only have screenings for 5 cancers. We're about to have be able to screen for 50 cancers at one time with one blood draw. And even more importantly, we're going to be able to detect cancer before the patient is symptomatic, before they're showing any signs of cancer. And so what that means is that we can move from late-stage diagnosis of cancer with all of the poor survival rates associated with late diagnosis and really diagnose cancer at the early stage before patients are symptomatic. And then we have gene therapy in which we can now treat patients and actually bring some cure to cancer.
Doctor, what has representation been in clinical trials for the BIPOC community?
Our clinical trial infrastructure needs some reorganization. We actually need to make sure that we have diversity in clinical trials because that diversity helps us to learn quicker. But even more importantly, we need to make sure that our clinical trials are in community. Right now, our trials tend to be in academic centers, in major urban areas. We need to get them out into community where we can get diverse populations into those trials, but even more importantly, we can make those trials convenient to patients and also give physicians another option in treating patients. So it's incredibly important that we get those trials into community.
Talking this morning to Dr. Gary Puckrin, president of National Minority Quality Forum, kind of about the barriers that the Black, Indigenous, people of color face relating to getting screenings, getting into doctors. We've seen through this pandemic time sometimes a distrust or a perceived distrust that sometimes African-American community has of the medical community. How do you bridge that gap and create that bond that's needed there for those early detections?
Our great challenge is the way in which we learn. There's a method that we learn. It's called science. It's called the scientific method. And we have to trust it. It is the only tool that we have. We've used it to great advantage. I talked to you about the multi-cancer early detection screenings, gene therapy. All of those are a consequence of good science. And so we have to put our faith in the science because it is the way forward, independent of race and ethnicity. We all have to read from the same fact book as it relates to science.
Right. And sometimes, though, these things, when you tell me about these sort of this technology, you wonder what the cost is, how the health coverage is going to work with that. Sometimes that becomes a barrier, or maybe people perceive it as a barrier, right?
There you open the door to a really important question. Political policy is part of healthcare these days. Your vote, my vote, the way in which we vote determines the quality of care that we're going to get. We have 90 million Americans in Medicaid. We have almost 70 million Americans in Medicare. Well over 45% of the American population is in government health care, and that means that they're the trustees of that system, and how we vote for them determines whether we're going to get multi-cancer screenings, whether we're going to get gene therapy. So it's incredibly important that we all be engaged.
Where's a good place to get some good information about what we talked about today, whether it's on the medical front or the political front, I suppose?
I would recommend womeningovernment.org. It's a great place to start the conversation, and I think you'll find I did a podcast with them. They've got other resources. It's a great place to start the conversation.
Dr. Puckerman, we appreciate your time this morning getting the word out as well and some of that positive news about our fight against cancer. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.